saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. 1 week exactly from today, it's the MLB All-Star Game, the Midsummer Classic in 2024. So just a few more days to go until the All-Star break, a short 7-game slate on a Monday in the majors. Now we go to a full slate on this Tuesday. Plenty to get to around MLB. The WNBA back in action. Some bright young draft picks making their debut in Salt Lake for the NBA Summer League as well. A lot to get to here, DRS, with soccer, the footy, back on the pitch with semifinal action at the Euros and Copa America on this Tuesday as well.
Yeah, doubleheader today, doubleheader tomorrow in soccer, so some good things to look forward to there. Just hope Major League Baseball treats me a little bit better than it did yesterday. No thanks to a couple RBI shots that I needed yesterday, but it's a new day, it's new money, and a larger card to take a look at and some good opportunities to score. Now, let's take a look also at the NBA action this summer. How about this? The Philadelphia 76ers out there in Utah.
Oh.
Hey, boy. Woo-hoo-hoo. Number one seed. Here we come.
Jared McCain looking very good in his debut in a 76ers Summer League uniform. We'll look at the two stars that shined yesterday out in Salt Lake in just a moment. But we start with our 7-game Major League Baseball card. The Atlanta Braves trying to battle for positioning with the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East, just trying to keep supremacy in the NL overall. They rallied yesterday in Arizona to knock off the Diamondbacks, down 3-1 in the top half of the ninth. Sean Murphy, the game-tying two-run shot to send it to extras. Both teams score a single run in the 10th, and then the Atlanta Braves get that game-winning run in the 11th. The Braves knock off the Diamondbacks 5-4.
Massive win for the Braves. Limits it now to 7.5 games in the East, which is still a huge chunk to try to make up. But yesterday, pulling out that victory when the jaws of defeat were right there for them, that's a really nice win for Atlanta on the road yesterday. And you know who's on the mound today? Chris Sale. We'll preview that a little bit later.
Yeah, he was the projected starter yesterday. Did not turn out to be the case. The line working in a dramatic way. It was minus 196 when Sale was the projected starter. Closed Atlanta a slight road favorite in the desert at minus 118. They make good on that number. A total of 8.5 does go over because of extra innings. Some more contestants filling out the field for the 2024 Home Run Derby. Now just 6 days away in Arlington, Texas. Bobby Witt Jr., the $280 million man, will compete in the Home Run Derby as well as Atlanta's Marcell Ozuna. By my track, DRS, that's 5 of the 8 contestants in the Home Run Derby who have been officially named.
And only one I care about, and that's Pete Alonso. Home Run Derby should be for absolute gorillas at the plate like Pete Alonso that can smash baseballs 600 feet. We don't need to see Bobby Witt Jr., who I love, don't get me wrong, being the Home Run Derby, or Alec Boehm on my favorite team. I don't need to see that. I need to see the smashers, Ben, at the plate. Where are they?
DRS, I would have thought Bobby Witt Jr., we were a couple of KC guys, would have been something for you. Maybe not. Now we go to the stars of tomorrow in the association. NBA Summer League action officially underway in Salt Lake City. Jared McCain, the 16th overall pick for Philly, shines with 15 points in his debut as the 76ers score 102 points to knock off the OKC summer team. DRS, your thoughts on Jared McCain?
Look, I like the stat line here, but outside of that, we brought him in, I say we as a Sixers fan, to shoot the three-point shot at an elite level. Ofer from the three-point line, so some things to do there, but I do like the stat line. But if he is a three-point shooter that knocks down three-point shots and goes, I believe, 0-5 or 0-6, yeah, we got to improve on that, but a decent start here for the young kid.
A goose egg, 0-6 from deep, but 15 points. There were points props available to bet yesterday on Philly and Jared McCain. Minus 114 was the number for McCain to score 15-plus points. The Sixers win by 10. They cover as a 5.5-point favorite, way over a total of 177. How about overtime and our second of two in Salt Lake City? Zach Edey, in his debut with the Memphis Grizzlies in Summer League, 14 points, 15 boards, 4 blocks, a miraculous game-tying tip as time expired in regulation off a missed free throw to send the game to OT. Utah does win in that extra session, but Zach Edey looks very, very good.
If we're redrafting right now already, should Zach Edey have been the number one overall pick? Some are saying that on the streets. And also, people moving lines with their betting dollars saying, you know what? Edey just might do this in the regular season. We'll talk about that later as well. Edey for Rookie of the Year? How about it?
Zach now the favorite at a 6-1 number in front of both Alex Saar and Zachary Rizache. If the year was 1984, he'd be minus 600 to win the NBA Rookie of the Year, plus 600 the number now. Speaking of the former stars in college, now in the NBA, one star remaining in college at the coaching level, that was UConn's Dan Hurley. Of course, he is staying in stores, and yesterday it became official, inking a 6-year, $50 million extension to stay at UConn through 2029. It now makes Dan Hurley the second highest paid coach in all of college basketball. He is one of two coaches that will make more than $8 million per year, along with Kansas's Bill Self, who is the highest paid coach at more than $9 million. Dan Hurley's era is here. He has won two consecutive national titles. He'll look to make it 3 in a row this year in stores.
Absolutely well deserved, and also shame on the Lakers when, you know, Hurley was like, you know what, UConn, can you come close to that offer? Yes, we can. Of course he was going to stay at UConn. It was up to the Lakers to offer him a deal that he could not refuse, and they did not do that. Good for stores, good for college basketball.
The reported deal in Los Angeles, 6 years for 70, would not have made him the second highest paid coach in the NBA, not even top five. He gets a big payday at the collegiate level. He will be at the helm of Connecticut for some time. Speaking of people from the Northeast, a shakeup perhaps in the reported captain for the Ryder Cup in 2025. Tiger Woods says, no, I'm okay. Maybe he's still holding out hope he can play on Team USA against Team Europe next year. Keegan Bradley has been named the skipper, the captain for the 2025 U.S. Ryder Cup team. It's on home soil. It's on Long Island at Bethpage Black.
Now, I got a bone to pick with this one, because I have no idea that Tiger Woods was even in the running. Is it true that Tiger was offered this position and turned it down? Shame on Tiger Woods, man. This is the ultimate prize in golf here. Fight for your country. Win a championship, as in the Ryder Cup. It's so exciting here. And Tiger declined? Man, shame on him.
We don't know exactly how it all played out. What if Tiger Woods still wants to lace him up, be out there on the course, making a direct impact with his play? Bethpage Black is going to be what?
Come on. Come on, Tiger, be a player captain.
Whatever you can do that.
Come on now.
Tiger can do whatever he wants out there.
They will make an adjustment for Tiger Woods if he wanted that. Absolutely.
But Keegan Bradley bleeds the red, white, and blue at Bethpage with what is going to be a raucous crowd against the Europeans. I don't mind the move. Speaking of Europe, over across the pond in London, Wimbledon action yesterday in round 4. Taylor Fritz comes back from 0-2, down by 2 sets to knock off Alexander Zverev in 5 sets. And Novak Djokovic, despite a hostile environment, rolls over Holger Rune in straight sets.
Yeah, by the way, that whole rant and rave there by Djokovic was absolutely ridiculous at that point, because he completely missed the point and also tried to blame him. I've been around the block 20 years. Obviously, you haven't. Other people are going to be happy that their player is winning a tennis match. It's not about respecting him as a champion. Come on now.
Soft, very, very soft. Cam Sutton, by the way, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, suspended 8 games for violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy to start off this season. Major League Baseball recap coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All around Major League Baseball, from a shorter Monday slate, only 7 games, but we recap everything you need to know from a Monday in the bigs. Live right here on a Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The Braves rallying yesterday out in Arizona, the start of their midweek set against the Diamondbacks. The Braves looking to contend for an NL pennant this season. The D-backs, of course, the reigning National League pennant winners. And Atlanta entered yesterday, avoiding a sweep over the weekend at home against the Phils. The D-backs playing pretty good ball. They entered yesterday back at 500 for the first time in a long time. They won their last 2 series against divisional foes, the Dodgers and the Padres, taking 6 of their last 8. And yesterday, it seemed as though it would be 7 of the last 9 for Arizona before the Braves rallied. In the 9th, Sean Murphy, a game-tying 2-run home run. Both teams score in the 10th inning. Atlanta, the only team to score in the 11th. The Braves win it in extras 5-4.
Yeah, it was a very good win by the Braves, too, as you pointed out, down 3-1 in the 9th inning, getting that 2-run shot. But also, let's keep in mind, yesterday, handicapping this game, I said, you know what, probably a good parlay piece to put in the Atlanta Braves. Now, granted, they did win, but we expected Chris Sale to be on the mound. Turns out it was Bryce Elder, 5 innings pitched and 3 earned runs, which wasn't terrible, but left the game as the potential loser. And also, we didn't know what to expect from Diaz, the pitcher here for the Diamondbacks. He ends up going 6 innings and 1 earned run. Now, the key ingredient in this game, obviously, we're going to look back, is that 2-run shot in the 9th inning to tie and get the extras. But Matt Olson made an unbelievable sliding catch in foul territory and terrible base running by Jock Peterson. Olson slides and makes that catch with his back to the plate here. If you're on third base tagging up, you score easily there. But Jock Peterson went halfway down the line back to third base, a decent throw by Olson on his knees, and they don't score that run. If they do, they probably win that ball game. Sometimes the little things matter here. Even though the Diamondbacks should have won, they should have had some extra insurance on top of that 3-1 lead as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great point, DRS, but the Braves do take advantage. Chris Sale was supposed to get the start yesterday. Yep. When Sale was lined up as the projected starter, Atlanta was nearly a $2 road favorite, -196. And it makes sense because Chris Sale's in contention for the National League Cy Young Award. We'll look at the price a little bit later on, with Sale projected once again to be the starter for the Braves today in downtown Phoenix. The Braves now 11 games above 500, 50-39. Most teams have already reached the 90-game threshold in Major League Baseball. Atlanta one shy of that number at this moment, as we shared yesterday. Still substantially back of the Phils for the top spot in the National League East. It was an 8-game deficit yesterday for Atlanta with the win and the Phillies having the day off. Now a 7.5 game deficit, the Braves back behind the Phils. But a 4-1 price to win the National League East, a division Atlanta has claimed for 6 consecutive seasons, is almost the same number as the pennant. +450 for the Braves, and the 5th best number at 9-1 to win the World Series. The odds still optimistic on Atlanta, even, Donnie, if they're a wild card team in the National League.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, to win the pennant, you don't need to win your division. Do you have supposedly have an easier run if you win your division? Yes, because you get home field advantage and you don't have to go through that early wild card round, let's just say, on the road. But if you are going to win in the playoffs, it does come down to pitching and who your 1-2 punch is. And right now, who would have thought at the beginning of the year, hey, one of the best 1-2 punches, Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale? Yeah, it turns out to be true here. Those guys getting into the playoffs, if they're pitching in the same respects they are now, Ben, that's going to be a pretty good baseball team. Again, I don't think the Atlanta Braves are going to win the NL pennant, but I do have always said throughout this season, even with the injuries, they're going to make the playoffs.
Atlanta will have a keen eye on the series that starts this week and on this Tuesday at the Bank in Philadelphia. It's the Dodgers and the Phils facing off. L.A. slated right now as an underdog for the opener of this midweek set. Zach Wheeler on the bump for the Phillies on the other side. And that's why, just the 4th time this year, I'll check the numbers to make sure we have them updated incorrect, but maybe just the 4th time this year, the Dodgers have been booked as an underdog. We saw some day baseball yesterday as well. NFL, the early start, 12:36 p.m. Eastern time in Pittsburgh for the fourth and final game of an extended weekend series between the Buccos and the New York Mets. Pittsburgh takes the final 8-2 over New York. The Pirates were a slight -122 home money line favorite. Total of 8.5 does go over. Pittsburgh splits the four-game set with New York. O'Neill Cruz, two-run home run in the fourth. DRS traveled more than 425 feet. His eighth home run this year at 425 plus. That's tied for third most in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, kid hits the ball a long way and also has an absolute rocket for an arm. But you want to take about that game. Mitch Keller told you how good he was in form coming into yesterday in a true pitcher's ballpark. He improves to 10-5 on the season after going eight innings, two earned runs, ERA now below a 3.50, now sitting at a 3.40. Good win for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Again, I don't think they're going to do any damage. The question there is, like, that Mets offense had been so hot as of late, cooled down by Mitch Keller, and also on a very hot day in Pittsburgh. Good win for the Pirates.
Brandon Nimmo, though, has stayed pretty hot at the dish. The only scoring for the Mets, a two-run shot. RBI's 54 and 55 this year for Brandon Nimmo. He has been one of the main offensive spark plugs for this Amazons lineup. In the month of July, the proud organization that is the New York Mets, just 4-4 after a 16-8 run in the month of June. Still in the Grimace era, although things have cooled off for New York ever so slightly. Now back to a game below 500, Donnie.
Yeah, no, and look, you're going to go through the ebbs and the flows. The Mets had a great run here, not just going to win 25 straight games in baseball. You just want to stay around that 500 mark here. Once you get to the All-Star game, take that deep breath here. Maybe you take a look at Uncle Steve there, laying out some money, spending some prospects there on the open market to bring back in some talent to maybe make a wild card run here in the second half.
Both the D-backs and the Mets right now, 2.5 games back of the Padres for that third and final spot in the National League wild card race. They will certainly be in playoff contention, that being New York, with the extended postseason in October. The Texas Rangers playing really good baseball as of late, and they needed to. Are they starting to look like the World Series champs from a year ago? They swept the Rays over the weekend and got the offense going yesterday in Anaheim, 9-4. The victory for Texas. Corey Seager, a huge two-run shot to get the scoring started. Wyatt Langford, the rookie of the year favorite in the American League, added on later in the contest. We'll get Donnie's take on this game and continue our recap around Major League Baseball. The Rangers playing better. Are they looking like that World Series team? That will be the debate. Up next, you're on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big victory for the Rangers to continue their hot play over the weekend. Texas, a sweep over Tampa. They needed it. The Rangers entered their weekend set against the Rays, having dropped 8 of their last 10. They win 3 straight over the Rays, and a big one yesterday in Anaheim, plating 9 runs. Donnie, yesterday we looked after the long 4th of July holiday weekend about the updated odds markets. In the Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, 80-1 to win the World Series once again this year. Craig Mish made the point. The two teams that played in the Fall Classic last year, the D-backs and the Rangers, 70-1, 80-1 to win this year's World Series. What is Texas showing you now on this at least small 4-game win streak?
Yeah, they have the capabilities. They have the talent. That 1-9 should be able to hit. You're just waiting on the starting pitching to come around. You got a decent performance out of Gray, a quality start, 5 innings pitched, and 3 earned runs against a bad baseball team. You should be able to pile up runs against a guy like Daniel, who had 2 starts in Major League Baseball. His first one, very good. Roughed up a little bit in the second one. Then you see here, 3 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 7 earned runs overall. That's how you get after it. Now, the only question for me yesterday is, they went 5-9, talking about the Rangers, with runners in scoring position. You're going to win a lot of baseball games that way, but I just needed an RBI from Adolis Garcia. And if you wake up and see the box score and say, hey, look at that, man, 1-1 with runners in scoring position and an RBI isn't achieved there, those are devastating results. Great performance by the Rangers yesterday in that victory, but very upsetting for me to take a look at so many chances. Simeon, 2 RBI, Seager, 2 RBI, Langford, 2 RBI, Adolis Garcia. for 5 with 3 strikeouts, but that one hit with a runner in scoring position, and I didn't cash in that ticket. But watch out for the Rangers. Again, that's the one team I picked out in the West to get a little crazy with. A huge number where if they can turn it around and make the playoffs, you're going to get a bargain basement price on that 80-1.
Yeah, you certainly are. The Rangers still, as of this moment, have a lot of ground to make up in the American League West and in the AL wild card race. 7 games back of that third and final spot in the wild card, as the Rangers are still 43-48, 5 games below 500. They actually are a shorter distance behind the top spot in the AL West because the Mariners are struggling so mightily. Only 5.5 games behind Seattle as of this moment. The Rangers, $1.5 favorite on the road yesterday. They've won 4 straight. The Halos struggling, by the way, as was kind of expected this year without Shohei Ohtani. Mike Trout injured early. The Angels have dropped 7 of their last 8 games. Low scoring affair yesterday with the AL's best team, at least the best record entering this week, and the Detroit Tigers, who also continue to win. Detroit swept Cincinnati over the weekend and get a 1-0 victory yesterday at home against the Guardians. Scoreless until the 8th. Rodgers scores on an error on Cleveland shortstop Brian Rocchio, and the Tigers win a low-scoring ball game. 1-0.
I mean, go figure. I mean, the Cleveland Guardians have a very good lineup. Is it the best in Major League Baseball? No, it isn't. But sometimes, each and every day, you'll get shocking results when you look at the box score. Number one, the Guardians getting shut out. Oh, who was on the mound? Tarik Skubal? No, he wasn't. It was Montero. 6 1/3 innings pitched, no earned runs. That lowers his ERA below 5 now to 4.64. That tells you the level of pitching they were going up against. But also, only 3 hits for the Guardians. And how many runners in scoring position, Ben? 0. Yeah. They didn't even have a chance to score a run in this game. Sometimes Major League Baseball was shocky. Yesterday, that was a shocking result for me.
And the Tigers were a pretty big plus money underdog at home. You would expect that against Cleveland, the AL's best team, nearly $1.50 favorite in the Motor City. The loss for Cleveland, now no longer the AL's best, 56-33. The Orioles have the best record and win percentage at this moment, 57-33, a half game up over the Guardians with 1 more win. It was a test yesterday for the Twins on the south side of Chicago against the White Sox, a hefty favorite on the road against MLB's worst team in the White Sox. Chicago made it a game, forcing extra innings, but in the 11th, Minnesota scores 2, including an RBI single off the bat of Twins rookie Brooks Lee, who made his debut just a week ago. The Twins do eventually get the win in extras, 8-6.
Yeah, on the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday, Ben, a 5.5 plus 105 team total there for the Minnesota Twins crosses that bridge in the 7th inning, and they got the victory. That was the game I thought had the best offensive chance for a team. Let's just say a team total or RBI opportunities yesterday. The Twins came up with 8 runs in that one, winning in extra innings. So good teams do. Hey, tie games, win those one late. They did that yesterday.
The Twins have now won 11 of their last 15 games. Chicago, just 26 wins this year. The only team in MLB with less than 30. In fact, the only team with less than 32. The Reds, a big bounce back yesterday after being swept by the Tigers. The Cardinals win the opener on the road in the nation's capital. Final game of that set. More around MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So let's take a look around Major League Baseball. Divisional races at this moment in the 6 divisions in MLB. Some very compelling races and some others that might already be done even before we get to the All-Star break. That's just 6 days away, even 5 days away now with our final games on Sunday. So, Donnie, as we look at the American League East, after a big weekend for Baltimore, and the Yankees continue to struggle, just 5-15 in the pinstripes last 20, the O's have now opened up a 3-game advantage atop the American League East and a minus money favorite at minus 150. Baltimore, 57-33. Cleveland with the loss yesterday in Detroit, 56-33. The O's the best record in the American League, but the Guardians still remain a heavy favorite to win the American League Central, a five-game advantage over Minnesota, minus 190. Perhaps the most compelling race is the battle for the bad division, and that's the American League West, which is not what we anticipated entering this year, with the reigning World Series champs in the Rangers, the Houston Astros, who have played in the last seven straight ALCSs, and a Seattle Mariners team off to a very hot start this year. But the M's have certainly cooled down. Just a two-game lead for Seattle, minus 130, an ever-so-slight minus money favorite.
Yeah, and by the way, let's start here with the American League East. And, you know, I think one of the most compelling matchups is going to be the Orioles and the Yankees, Ben, throughout the summer months. Why? Because I think they're the two best teams in the American League. They're going to go toe-to-toe. Just a few short weeks ago, the Yankees had that pole position in the AL East. Now it's back over to the Baltimore Orioles with a three-game lead over the Yankees. And also, sometimes you take a look at, you know, the games, every single game matters the same as it does, let's just say, in the months of April, May, June, and July, as they do in those final couple weeks of September. It's just that everything gets elevated at that point. So if you can stack that lead up early in the season, makes it much more hard to come back, even in the months of September, when some teams technically might be out of it and you pick up easy victories. The reason I bring this up is most people are already looking forward to the All-Star break. Let's just say by the time you get to Sunday, that's going to be massive. If you have the Baltimore Orioles with a five-game lead at that break, boy, that's really going to set the tone for the second half of the Major League Baseball schedule. And also, starting today, the New York Yankees go on the road to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays aren't playing great baseball by any stretch, losers of their last three games, but it's still a road game in the Trop, or should I say a road series. Now you take a look at the Baltimore Orioles. They're going to be home, Ben, against the Chicago Cubs, with the thoughts on the Cubs are they're ready to have a fire sale on that baseball team. Yeah. Let's just say it's simple, and the Orioles just win the series. I haven't checked to see the length of it, but I assume it's probably just a three-game set. Let's just say the Orioles go 2-1 there, and the Yankees go 1-2. That's another game tacked on here with still a weekend series to go. So I still say, and you saw some of the clips going around here at the Sports Grid Network, I'm not giving up on the New York Yankees. I still think they're the best team overall. But boy, oh boy, it's look, a five-game lead at the All-Star break, that is a tough lead to overcome. Now, if you're the Yankees sitting only three games back, you can't let that happen. But advantage to the Orioles in this next series ahead, they should win their series. The Yankees probably going to have a battle in their hand with the Rays.
Just look at the odds for game one of both of those sets. The Yankees, as you would expect, still a road favorite, but minus 130. Baltimore, even with Dean Kramer, who is not necessarily their ace or top of the staff, a $1.50 favorite at home against the Cubbies. And Chicago is seven games below 500. Baltimore should win that series. The Yankees might struggle. And Donnie, it will be ever important to update where that race is at this time next week during the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, because of course the two sides end the first half, if you want to call it that, before the All-Star break, although we're already well past 81 games in total, against each other inside Camden Yards. And just a few weeks ago, it was the O's winning a three-game set against the Yankees. It's three games now. What might it be by the time we get to the All-Star break? Maybe the Yankees can make up some ground. Again, they have lost 15 of their last 20 games. And that day on June 14th, that is really one that we will mark for the Yanks. Over the last month, it's really where they have started to struggle. Donnie, when you look at the American League division prices, we have minus money favorites, sure, but none greater than $2. Compare that to the favorites around the National League. The Phils, still a 7.5 game lead over Atlanta, minus 550 to win that division. The Dodgers were already a big minus money favorite entering the year to win the National League West, not only because they have the best team in baseball on paper, and they've won the division 10 of the last 11 years. That's now minus 6,000. They also only have a 7.5 game lead over San Diego. And in the National League Central, the Brewers and the Cardinals, the only two teams above 500, the Brew Crew, a 4.5 game lead over St. Louis. I mentioned, by the way, the Cardinals blanked the Nats yesterday on the road in the nation's capital, winning 6-0. They won the fourth and final game of the series to take 3 of 4 in Washington, D.C. The Cardinals have won 12 of their last 17 games. I don't think that division has been put to bed just yet, despite a 4.5 game difference.
No, absolutely not. And the St. Louis Cardinals may have the most talent in that division overall if you're looking at the full scope of the lineup, which, again, we always like to count that 1-9 lineup. I like to see it from the Cardinals here. But also keep in mind, Ben, by the time we get to the All-Star break, which is going to start Sunday night, next Friday when we get back underway in Major League Baseball, 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, choices are going to be made on these franchises whether going all in for a World Series to maybe get a wild card or sellers at the deadline. That's why I brought up the Chicago Cubs taking on the Baltimore Orioles, where anticipating the Cubs probably to be sellers. But if you are looking, it's interesting to me where nobody really running away with you. Say, Donnie, hold on. 7.5 game lead for the Dodgers, 7.5 game lead for the Philadelphia Phillies. But look at the three division leaders here across the board in the National League.
Yeah.
5-5 for the Phillies in the last 10, 5-5 for the Brewers in the last 10. The Dodgers, 5-5 in their last 10 games. So nobody really extending it right now. So if you are the Braves, picking up small wins yesterday, getting those half games down, every single game you get that advantage of, because I always take a look at the reevaluation. And as you pointed out, Ben, you're right. We're already past the halfway point, but it's most organizations say, okay, All-Star break is here. We got a week to decompress. Let's take a look at the roster. Let's factor in our schedule, what contracts that we have. And also in 2 weeks, we know that deadline is coming up. Which way are we going to go? And trust me, a lot of teams are going to look at this final week right now saying, show me something for my team so we can go all in at the deadline, or at least pick up a pitcher or a bullpen arm or a bat at this point. So these are key indicators, because the Phillies just a couple days ago, Ben, 10-game lead in the NL East. If the Phillies played great baseball through and it's an 11-game lead, maybe the Braves are going like, okay, well, we can't win the division. Let's not go all in. But if the Braves, let's just say, are down to 5.5 games by the deadline, hey, you know what? Let's make some moves here and flip some prospects and maybe chase down the Philadelphia Phillies. So I like the game plan of the organizations, and it's going to be fun to see these organizations' game plan play out over the next 2 weeks with the trade deadline coming up faster than we know it.
The Braves are the top team in the National League wild card race. They have a 3.5 game advantage over that final spot, which is the San Diego Padres. The Padres lost their final two games of their weekend set against the D-backs, but entered those last two of the weekend set winners of 12 of their last 15 to try to have that resurgence ahead of the All-Star break. San Diego, by the way, 5 All-Stars selected to the All-Star team. The Cards a game up over San Diego, 2.5 back of the Atlanta Braves. So the Braves have that now 4th best record in the National League. There's only two teams above 500 in all three divisions in the NL. It's the Phillies and the Braves in the National League East, the Brewers and the Cardinals in the National League Central, the Dodgers and the Padres in the National League West. A huge series, as we said, in Philadelphia starting today at the bank between the Phils and the Dodgers. That will be interesting. Philadelphia, the best record in all of Major League Baseball at this moment, and that highest winning percentage, 58.32.644, that win percentage for the Phils. Donnie, as we know, as we get closer and closer to October in the postseason bracket, you are going to be battling it out perhaps for those top two seeds to earn the opening round bye to the division series, and then we'll get into the rest versus rust debate we have the past few Octobers in the extended MLB playoff bracket.
And also keep in mind for the Philadelphia Phillies, JT Realmuto will be back by the end of the month. Due to be activated today is Kyle Schwarber. And actually, activation could be for Bryce Harper today. They're not anticipating that to happen. But getting some of that help back each and every day for the Phillies, they'll like that.
We'll look around the NBA Summer League. The stars on display next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We had the California Classic, kind of the unofficial start to NBA Summer League over the weekend. Salt Lake into the fold last night. Really more Summer League action that we have for the bright young stars getting ready to take that next step into the NBA. On full display last night, Zach Edey, the 9th overall pick to the Memphis Grizzlies. Jared McCain, the 16th overall selection made by the Philadelphia 76ers. Edey in his debut, 14 points, 15 boards, 4 blocks. Kyle Filipowski, who had a very interesting draft, and if you are adept at anything social media, you might have read why, maybe some relationships with his girlfriend in terms of where he is in his development. And his career slid out of the first round despite a draft position prop of 23.5. Didn't play much last night for the Utah Jazz, 0-4 from the field. Isaiah Collier was a first-round selection by Utah, a guy that some are more optimistic about than others, was considered a surefire top-five pick before his only year at USC a season ago in college hoops. Looked pretty good in his debut, 14 points, 6 boards, 6 dimes. That was the second game of two yesterday in Salt Lake. The Jazz did win an OT 97-95 over the Grizz.
Yeah, you know what, Summer League, credit the NBA here. This is a boon over the past couple years where you're really making this a prominent thing, and we really enjoy to watch it because who doesn't love basketball all year round? You take a look at the NBA Finals end, you have the NBA Draft, then you get right into the Summer League. It's fantastic to watch these players that just got drafted and also some other young talent around the NBA playing in a Summer League. Now, here's what I want to bring up, too, is I always want to see game number two as opposed to game number one. Now, some of these players, like the Philadelphia 76ers, not a rookie, Ricky Council IV, 29 points and 8 assists, eight rebounds. Right. These guys are ready to go trying to prove that they're worth an NBA roster. Some of the rookies that show up, they're just trying to say, you know what? I want to be here. It's my first official NBA game, let's just say, but I'm a little bit nervous. And some of those nerves might happen. Game number two, it's probably going to change. We saw that last year with Victor Wembanyama, who was supposed to be an MVP-type candidate over the career of his NBA, talking about after game number one of his summer league, man, that guy can't play. What a bust he was. Game number two looked much better. They shut him down for the rest of the summer league. So I'm interested in seeing game number two for most of these rookies. But as you brought up, Zach Edey was really good, man. 14 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 blocks. I've always said, you know exactly what you're getting out of Zach Edey. And seeing that stat line, did anybody go like, wow, I can't believe Zach Edey did that? No, he was the player of the year in college basketball. This is what we're anticipating him to do. Now, granted, can he do it at the next level, which means an NBA regular season game? We'll find out. But that's a great start for him in the summer league, knowing exactly what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, and he was running the floor. He was looking really good out there, had a miraculous game-tying tip in the final seconds, milliseconds, of regulation to send the game to overtime after a missed free throw. Picked up a tech, trying to be the enforcer at 7-4. I think if you're a Grizzlies fan, you enjoy what you saw last night out of Zach Edey. A really good performance. And you mentioned competition against that highest level. Walker Kessler was there last night for the Jazz. He is about to enter his second year in the NBA. And Zach Edey was lining up against Walker Kessler. Even dunked on Walker Kessler's head on a poster on a putback. Those are very impressive things to see out of the young Zach Edey. Jared McCain, as we said, 0-for from deep, but still 15 points last night. How about a couple other guys for OKC taken a little bit later on? Dylan Jones out of Weber State, selected 26th overall, the Big Sky MVP or Player of the Year a season ago. Impressive in his debut. 9 points, 10 boards, 7 dimes, a little bit of everything. A.J. Mitchell out of UC Santa Barbara, 14 points and 4 dimes in his opener as well. And Donnie, I don't think it was all the debut yesterday for Zach Edey, but it's something we have noted since the end of the NBA draft just about 2 weeks ago to where we are now. Zach Edey has screamed up the board in the NBA Rookie of the Year odds. Zach Edey, after his NBA Summer League debut last night in Salt Lake for Memphis, is now the favorite at plus 600 to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Is it the notoriety as the two-time reigning National Player of the Year in college basketball? The fact that he is 7-4, so he's hard to miss? Or is it actually the betting public getting down on that number, believing in Edey's chances of winning Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, because it's a shaky market that we started off because, again, we're dealing with a couple players at the top of the draft that not a lot of the betting public in the United States is quite familiar with. And also, we're not talking about generational talents. Like, if you're not familiar with Victor Wembanyama, you knew he was coming from a few years in the past. And you know what? This kid's probably going to be good, and rightfully so. And the minute you saw him on the court in the NBA in the regular season, you knew that was probably going to be the case as long as he didn't get injured. But now we're trying to make way of what we see on the court. And also, overreactions are going to take place. Like, if Zach Edey yesterday only played 6 minutes because, you know what, hey, maybe he's a little bit banged up. We don't want to run him out there. 2 points, 2 rebounds. Zach Edey would be nowhere near the top of the leaderboard now. But the fact that Zach Edey had a great game number one, now you're opening eyes to go, oh, you know what? let me jump on this train before too many people do, and I want to get that number. Because if Zach Edey has a very good summer league and goes into the regular season, sure, why can't he be the rookie of the year? Because you expect him to be in the rotation on a day-to-day basis and playing big-time minutes. If you take a look at the other players, we really don't know what to anticipate still from Reese Shea and Starr. So you're looking for that next-level thing, and it just might be Zach Edey right now because he performed extremely well game number one.
There's nobody that really was that stellar or generational talent in this year's draft class. Of course, that was the draft. Now, how will it mean for their rookie campaigns around the association as well? Dalton Knecht, fourth best number, plus 850. Reed Sheppard, Montez Buzelis, and Steph Castle all around that 11-1 price or shorter. I think there will be a competitive Rookie of the Year award race. Next year, the favorite is going to be Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg will have a number, much like Victor Wembanyama, to be the number one overall pick of the 2025 NBA draft. Cooper Flagg playing with the Team USA select team in Las Vegas against our Olympic team might have been the star of the show yesterday. He is not even in college yet. He is 17 years old, and he is impressing everybody on the Olympic team and across the association alike.
I'll tell you, 17 years old and won't be 18, I don't think, until December, and he's dominating like that. I remember when I was a 17-year-old heading into my senior year of high school. Good Lord, this kid can play, man.
Dominating all the route tree that you could see there in southern New Jersey. More in college hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dan Hurley is in stores to stay. An official contract extension, as was reported and rumored, after he decided to say no to the LA Lakers and remain at Connecticut, was made official yesterday. 6-year deal worth $50 million, more than $8 million per year. It makes Dan Hurley the second highest paid coach in all of men's college basketball, only behind Kansas's Bill Self. There are three coaches, DRS, only three in all of men's college hoops that are paid more than $7 million per year. Kansas, Bill Self. Connecticut now, Dan Hurley. And Arkansas, John Calipari, who actually took a slight discount to go to Arkansas and leave Lexington, Kentucky. A huge deal for Dan Hurley that will keep him under contract with this 6-year extension through the 2028-29 college basketball campaign.
Yeah, we'll see how this contract does last. And the reason I bring that up is he's very happy, apparently so, in UConn. They paid him well. His family likes it there. Wife loves it there, which, as we know, is very important. But if you're taking a look long term, we know that he said he wanted to go to the NBA, flirting with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think everybody's in agreement. If the Lakers were like, okay, 10 years, $100 million, he would have been going to the Los Angeles Lakers saying, you know what, did all I can in college basketball, won 2 national championships. Let me ply my trade here in the highest position I could possibly get, which is an NBA coach in my profession. But now he doesn't go there. He's still relatively young. But could we see a scenario play out sort of here, Ben, that we've seen so many times in college basketball? Like, Roy Williams was a fantastic coach in college. Probably would have translated very well to the NBA game. Goes to Kansas, but then gets his dream job at UNC. Goes, you know what? I don't have anything left to do here. Let me see if I can win a national championship. If I do, fantastic. But those aspirations of going to the NBA really aren't there anymore. Remember when Coach K was flirting with the NBA way back in the day to go with the Los Angeles Lakers, same team that Hurley was looking at. And as soon as you said, you know what, I'm going to pass on this. I'm going to stay at Duke. I'm going to win a couple more national championships. They're going to pay me a lot of money. And why should I leave? I got a great thing going here. They're never going to push me out, and I'll make my own decisions. Can probably pick my own successor. That's the interesting part now. As you look at that nice deal that Hurley got, let's just say over the next 3 years, he picks up another national championship that makes three. Why would he say to himself then, you know what, now I'm a little bit older, I finally want to get to the NBA, or let me just stay at stores because I'm probably making even more money than I just signed that 6-year, $50 million contract, and my family is happy here, and we got a dynasty rolling. Let me see how many national championships I can run up the flagpole to be considered maybe one of the best college coaches in the history of this sport. I think that also makes an idea of, does he want to go to the NBA if he tacks on another one? We'll find out, but the longer you wait to go to the NBA, the more likely you are just to stay in college basketball and say, this is where I belong.
As the Laker job became speculated that Dan Hurley was going to be in the running for it, and I think many thought he was going to take it in Los Angeles, one of the reasons why was his expressed desire to coach at the highest level in basketball. The insane, psychotic, almost competitor that Dan Hurley is, trying to win at every level he has ever been a head coach, thus the desire to be in the association. But it's not always greener pastures. You would think, Donnie, throughout the Lakers coaching search, right, some things kind of came out. They're actually a cash poor franchise, despite the history and the luster of Los Angeles, that maybe it's not as desirable as a job that would pay you $10 million per year. The Lakers don't really have that kind of cash. I mean, it was more than $15 million per year to be one of the highest paid coaches in the NBA. So who knows exactly if there will be a better opportunity for Dan Hurley, one that comes with the notoriety that is in Los Angeles. That remains to be seen, but it does seem pretty set now that Dan Hurley is comfortable in Connecticut. His wife, Andrea, very happy to be in stores as well. He is a family man through and through. I think Dan Hurley is in college to stay, to build a pantheon at Connecticut that we associate with guys like John Wooden in Westwood at UCLA, and Bob Knight in Bloomington in Indiana, and in Durham at Duke with Mike Krzyzewski. Dan Hurley has that opportunity. He is one of 17 coaches all time in the history of D1 men's college basketball to win multiple national championships. He is one of 8 to ever do it back-to-back, in the first since Billy Donovan way back in 06 and 07. That is Dan Hurley's legacy already. He can only add on as Connecticut looks for 3 in a row. They're a co-favorite at a 10-1 price alongside KU entering this next season.
I'll tell you what would have been interesting, too, if he took that Lakers job and that transfer portal opened up. We certainly wouldn't be seeing UConn at the top of the heap standings right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win another national championship. So here we go, UConn, winner number 3 in a row. We'll find out.
A lot of talent remains in stores despite those that have left for the NBA. Hour 2 is up next here on TEL.